And we're just going to spend a few minutes thinking about this story, which Ryan has just read to us. Just as we start, I thought I want to Google some good pictures to get on the screen for my PowerPoint. So I Googled through the roof, and I found some great pictures. There's the first one. You wouldn't want to be in that car. Next one, this one's a good one for a Worcester theme at the moment. What do you do when you accidentally buy a Christmas tree that's far too big for your house? And then this was my favourite. WWF, through the roof. There you go. We used to call it in my time the daddy splash, didn't we? But that's taking it a bit further. Anyway, enough of that. I want to ask a question today. I want to start with a question. What is your biggest need at this moment in time? What is the thing that you personally would most like to get fixed? What is the thing that most burdens and concerns and consumes you? See, in the story that we've just had this morning, which is taken from Luke's Gospel, that's one of the books which of the Bible which tell the stories of Jesus. We see a man being brought to Jesus to fix what he saw was his biggest need. This man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. We don't know how long he'd been paralyzed, whether it was from birth or whether actually it was a more recent event. But what was clear that he was unable to get around by himself and had to rely on others to have his needs met. And back in those times, such a person would have had little security, little support. There'd have been no carers and no social services, no disability allowance, no community action buses. Although that's a bit in question even around here at the moment, isn't it? He would have been left totally at the mercy of others. And potentially he would have become a forgotten outcast of society. And on top of that, many would have believed that this condition was actually a result of sin, a result of something that he'd done or his parents had done in his past, and actually he was being punished for that. And so he would also have had to carry around the social stigma and the shame that that would have brought to. Isolation, rejection, shame, fear, lack of hope. That was what this man must have lived with every day of his life. They were the results of his paralysis, of his biggest needs. And as we gather here today, actually, we all have our own individual needs, don't we? Our own burdens and concerns, our own struggles in life that all of us are battling with. For some, actually, at this time, these might be light and not too demanding. And at such times, we rejoice and we're thankful and we celebrate, don't we? But for many of us here, probably, actually, there are struggles in our lives, which for some will be really dominating, all-consuming, and at times just too much to bear. Here are some of the things that so many people these days have to face with. The weight of living in debt. The darkness and hopelessness of depression. The heartbreak of a broken or breaking relationship. The desolation of bereavement. The shame of our past mistakes or past actions of others against us. The oppression of anxiety. The fear of health issues. The overpowering stress of work and of bringing up a young family. The isolation of loneliness. I could go on. These things may not cause literal paralysis, but they can so often cause emotional and mental paralysis, which weighs us down and robs us of peace and joy and freedom and life in all its fullness. I myself have been there in recent times, battling myself with anxiety and depression, and I just know just how crippling and dominating it can be, and how desperate we can become in those situations. But you know, there's good news. There's really good news. that we don't have to walk this stuff alone, and that God can bring strength and peace and transformation. So let's go back to our story, because it's a story of great hope, of incredible transformation. For suddenly, one day, out of the blue, everything changed for this man. It was a day that began like any other for him, but suddenly took a different turn. You see, rumors spread, news got round his village that the miracle man, Jesus, was in the area. And he was healing the sick. And he was transforming lives. And as you can imagine, crowds at this news were coming from everywhere, flocking to see him, for him to meet their biggest need. I wonder what was going through the paralyzed man's mind that day. Suddenly, in his fragile and isolated world, there was a ray of hope. Could Jesus possibly be his answer? Could Jesus possibly heal him? And could he really have his life radically transformed? But there was one big problem, wasn't there? How was he to get to Jesus? And that's where his friends, his mat carriers come in. We're actually not told in the story who they are. Maybe they were friends. Quite likely, I reckon, they were relatives. What was clear is that they were people who really cared for him, who were determined that they were going to get him to Jesus, come what may. But when they arrived at the house, there was another problem, wasn't it? There were so many people that they couldn't get in. They couldn't squeeze in the door themselves, let alone actually carry the mat with this man into the house. But did they give up? No, they persevered, didn't they? They went up the stairs, they got onto the flat roof, and they made a hole in the roof. I don't know what the owner of the house must have felt. But they were going to get this man to Jesus no matter what. And it must have been quite a sight, mustn't it, for those in the house, Jesus and the others standing there, to suddenly have bits of falling ceiling, bits of dust and bits of plaster and bits of straw and bits of wood, whatever the roof was made of, just begin to clutter down and see this light coming in through the roof. You know, I think sometimes coming to Jesus can actually be a bit like that, you know. Sometimes actually it can be a bit of a battle. It can be full of obstacles, it seems. It isn't always easy. Maybe there are even people here who nearly didn't make it this morning. When I saw the weather forecast and the weather when I woke up this morning, I was thinking, how many people are going to stay away because of the rain this morning? Maybe Sundays actually are hard for you. Maybe actually life is so busy with all the stuff going on, particularly with families these days, that actually getting to church, actually connecting with God is not easy. They're some of the struggles, some of the obstacles that get in the way, aren't they? But I want to say well done each and every one of us for making it here this morning. Because actually coming is the first step on that journey of being transformed by Jesus. And so Jesus, standing there in that house, is suddenly met by this incredible scene, a paralyzed man being lowered through the roof above his head. But then, you know, I think this is where the story gets even more surprising. Because if we didn't know this story, and maybe there's some people here who don't know this story, and if we asked you, what would you expect Jesus now to say? I think most of us would probably say, we'd expect Jesus to say, stand up, get off your mat, and be healed. But Jesus doesn't say it then. That's not the first thing that Jesus says to the man. Because Jesus sees in him a much deeper need than his physical needs. An even more important need for him, a much more profound need. The need to be forgiven. The need to know that he is loved by God. The need to know God. And that's why the first thing that Jesus says to him is this. Friend, your sins are forgiven. Let's take those words. Friend. You know, Jesus starts by calling him his friend. He invites the man to have friendship with him. And that's really significant because actually central to the Christian faith is the belief that Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just someone who had amazing healing powers. But that actually Jesus was in fact God himself come down in human flesh to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was both fully God and fully man. And so when Jesus says friend to him, he's actually saying to him, know that you are a friend of God. Know that God loves you. Know that God knows you. Know that God cares for you. Know that God's here for you. What an amazing thing to be told that we can be friends with the Almighty God. That God knows us. That God loves us. That God cares for us. And then he goes on, your sins are forgiven. Sin is that word for, that sort of very Christian word, for all the bad stuff that we do, all the mess of our lives, where we make mistakes, where we live for ourselves, where we don't live God's way, where we carry with us the shame, the hurt, the mistakes of the past. That stuff which not only burdens us, but as the Bible tells us, separates us from a perfect God. But Jesus here declares to the man, your sins are forgiven. He says, I've wiped the mess of your past from you. So you no longer have to carry it around with you anymore. You no longer have to be burdened by it. You no longer have to live in shame. And even more than that, you no longer have to be separated from God, the God who loves you. And who wants to be your friend? You know, that was his deepest need. That was far greater than his need to be physically healed. And that's what Jesus first of all offered to him and offers to us. His forgiveness, his friendship, and his love. A love which walks alongside the lonely and the brokenhearted and the bereaved. A forgiveness which through Jesus' death on the cross, that central point, a central part of the Christian message, that forgiveness which removes the burden of that we carry around with us of those living in shame and hurt from the past and allows us to be friends with God again. That friendship which brings peace and joy, which goes beyond any human understanding. You see, that's the deeper need that Jesus came for. That's what Jesus offers to each one of us. So often I think we can struggle with, can't we, if we're honest, of why life is sometimes so hard. Why doesn't God intervene and stop all the bad stuff? Why can't he make life really easy? They're the big questions which we all grapple with, I grapple with, and I don't have easy answers for them. But you know, I think what I have noticed is that so often our big needs, our pain, our sufferings, our trials can bring us, like this man did, to Jesus. They can bring us, draw us in desperation in the first place to God, so that actually we can realize our deeper need, simply to know God, to be forgiven, and to be loved by him, and to receive his friendship. Some of you may know this guy, C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books and was at times a resident here in Malvern. He said this, he said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. See, God wants to meet us in our struggles, in our pain, in our suffering, in our trials. He's there. He wants to meet us in those and fix that deepest, greatest need in each one of us. To be connected again with the God of the whole universe. You know, this story was written 2,000 years ago, but it's a story which we believe here is true, which I believe really happens. But not just that, I believe that this is a story which is relevant for us today. Because I believe God is a God, that Jesus actually came back to life again and is alive now, and that actually he meets us still in our times of need and brings transformation. I want to say at this point, becoming a Christian doesn't mean all our problems are suddenly solved. Just ask any of us. It's not the case. But sometimes God does miraculously intervene and fixes things there and then in that moment. And I've heard loads of stories of how people have been healed, how they found peace, how God has restored relationships. We've seen so many of those things in this church. God do that. But you know, more often than not, I think God calls us, his people, his representatives on earth, to join with him in supporting others and in fixing these needs of our people around us, our communities and our worlds. He says, you can join me in being part of the solution. And that's what we passionately believe is our calling here at St. Andrew's and All Saints and other churches here in Malvern. Our strapline here is partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. We want to actually join in with what God's doing to see life in all its fullness be brought in our communities. To see the lonely find friendship. To see the bereaved find comfort. To see the excluded included. To see those who are bound by chains in this life set free. One of the things that we're being led to do here as a church, working alongside other churches in Malvern, is to set up a Malvern branch of an organisation called Christians Against Poverty. This is a really well-respected national and I think now international charity, which seeks to transform the lives of thousands of people each year who find their lives destroyed by debt and often find themselves suicidal at that point. This guy, Martin Lewis, some of you may know, he's the money-saving expert often on TV and at radio. He's not Christian, but he is a great supporter of CAP, and he says this. He says, CAP are unsurpassed when it comes to the debt help they can give people across the country. There's nothing better to start you on the path to having more money in your pocket than to connect up with CAP. And as CAP supports people through their immediate need, their debt, they also invite people to have the opportunity to meet Jesus and have their deepest need met, that of reconnecting with the God who loves and cares for them. And the stories that transform lives are inspirational. And I'm just going to show you one of those little videos of stories of just what a difference CAP has made. Hopefully this will work.
I just felt that I was such a letdown and a failure as a mother and as a wife. And then, of course, your depression gets worse, and then you close in on yourself. The worst moments were the choice of either feeding the children or putting gas or electric on. 5 out of 7 days we didn't eat because there was not enough money in the pot to pay all the bills and to eat.
When they saw us eating, I think they felt happier, but we felt bad because we were eating what should have been theirs, as well as ours.
I was ill with depression and everything just spiralled downward from there.
I thought that I was the cause of the problem. I just generally felt like rubbish. I felt like everything was going to chaos.
Imagine that was you. Imagine that was your family, your friends, your neighbour. What would you do? Where would you go for help? I am so glad that I discussed things with Christians Against Poverty. Janet came in. John and I were waiting for her. She said, I'm going to show you a video. She said, but first, could I pray for you? And I said, yes, please. And I just felt this real need for prayer. There was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders in that one meeting. The next day, Elizabeth turned up at the door with about 6 bags of shopping, and I just gave her a hug and I cried and I just said thank you, because it was just such a relief. You have to stick to your budget and CAP will stick with you all the way through. Things will get sorted. If CAP had not have come along, I don't think I would be here now. I really don't. Not only have I become a Christian, John has become a Christian, Thomas has become a Christian. The day I went debt free, it was like just absolutely wonderful, marvellous. And we got into the car park and I said to Janet, I need to pray to thank God for this outcome, because I never thought this day would come. I feel like there's a light shining on me. I feel like there's a light shining on the family. I've never looked back since those two people walked through my door.
It's a great story, isn't it? And that's what God's inviting us here as churches in Melbourne to be part of. On Friday, we interviewed for a CAP manager. We are still deliberating and just trying to work out God's plan, because God's brought us some amazing people. And God's so in this. And this is really going to happen. And we hope that we'll be launching a CAP centre in January or February. So watch this space. But it's just a great picture of how God can use us when we're open to bring huge transformation into the real issues of today. Pray for all that we do as the CAP Centre sets up, and for God's provision. We've got to find £20,000 a year for roughly for the next, well, however many years we run it. And just pray that God will provide, but he will, because he's so in this. So as we come to a close, Jesus meets our deepest needs. But you know, Jesus is always also interested in our immediate needs too. And Jesus doesn't only say to this man, friend, your sins are forgiven, and then walk away. He also says to this man, get up and walk. And this paralyzed man, we're told, picked up his mat and went home praising God. What a transformation. What a life-changing encounter. And we could tell of countless stories of people here in this church who've known that transformation. If you've not already read the notice board in the corridor of Ivor and Ginny's story, Ivor's here, Ginny's working. Wave, Ivor. There he is. Go and talk to Ivor. Go and read their story. It's an amazing story. Just one of the many stories of transformed lives. So as we finish, I want to say maybe for some of us coming here this morning, it's been a bit of a struggle, a bit long in coming, a bit like trying to get through the roof of a house in getting here. But maybe actually this morning is about being your through the roof moments. That moment when you have come with all your needs and burdens, and perhaps where Jesus wants to surprisingly meet you and encounter you and say to you, friend, your sins are forgiven. Friend, I want to walk with you the rest of your journey. Friend, I want to invite you to partner with me in bringing my transformation to your community, to your town, to the people you live with. That's the offer that Jesus makes right now to each one of us. And I want to just invite us to pause for a moment and maybe be open to what God is saying to you. Maybe there are some here who are saying, actually, I want to explore this a bit more. This is all new to me. Well, there's a couple of ways which we could do that. We're going to be running something called a Start Course, which is a great interactive 6-week with video clips course with people being really real about their struggles in life and about how Jesus has made a difference. We're going to be starting that on October the 15th, a daytime course at All Saints and evening course here. We'd love to invite you to come and join us on that. Many of people have found it really helpful. If you'd like to grab one of these invitations at the back, sign up on the information desk at the back or talk more with us. Or maybe you want to explore on your own. Well, actually, I managed to acquire 300 of these for 5p each this week, from a guy up at Regent's who's got 6,000, he's trying to get rid of them. This is Luke's Gospel. This is Luke's Gospel in an easy to read way, which tells all these stories of Jesus and a few other bits of introduction. I want to give these away. You don't need to pay me 5p. These are to give away today. Go and read them for yourself. And also there's another little booklet called Try Praying. Today is Try Church. And actually, if you've never prayed before, why don't you try praying? This is a book which actually, if you've never prayed before, don't know how to pray, it will take you through how to pray. Try it and see what God does and see if God meets you. But also I just want to invite, and let's perhaps just have a moment of silence and invite you maybe to close your eyes even. Maybe there are some people here today, right now, who are just sensing that God wants to really meet with them. And that Jesus wants to say to you, friend, your sins are forgiven. Friend, come and join me on this great adventure called the Christian faith. And I'm going to say a prayer, and I want to invite you, if that is you, if that's where you're at, maybe you don't need to understand an awful lot. Well, that's all right. Nor did the paralyzed man. But actually, you can still say, yes, I want to respond to you today. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to echo that prayer in your heart, then please just echo it quietly in your heart. Dear God, thank you for caring about me. Thank you that you call me your friend, that you know me, that you love me, that you want the best for me. And today I want to say sorry for the mess in my life, sorry for going my own way, but thank you that you call me to live differently. Thank you that because of the cross that you offer your forgiveness and a new start. And I invite you to come and journey with me today. Bring me your forgiveness, your love, your power to transform me. And help me from now on to follow Jesus in all that I am and all that I do. Amen. We'd love to support you on your ongoing journeys. If anyone wants to come and connect up with any of those things or perhaps said that prayer for the first time today, Peter would love to speak to you afterwards and talk more about how we can support you, because we believe that Jesus transforms lives and wants to meet and know each one of us. Amen.